Good everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really excited to be talking to you about cybersecurity journeys. How do we start? How do we continue? And all the important steps in between. My name is Sam Leggett. I'm a vCISO and security consultant with the Instillery, and I'm really excited to get into it. So today we're talking about assessing, understanding, and improving your cybersecurity, and all about the overall cybersecurity journey that you'll need to go through. Why do we need to start this though? Why is it important that we focus on our cybersecurity and we actually are working on a cybersecurity journey, either picking it up from the start or continuously trying to improve our cybersecurity? One metric that we can use comes from CERT New Zealand, or the Computer Emergency Response Team for New Zealand. In their latest quarterly report for quarter one in 2024, they saw $6.6 million of financial loss. Now, that's an 84% increase from their previous quarter, and that's despite seeing a 20% decrease in the overall number of incidents reported through to them. $6.6 million is a lot of money for New Zealand individuals and businesses to be losing, and we don't want to see your organizations be part of that metric. It's important to note, though, that this is just the number that's been reported through to CERT New Zealand. $6.6 million is simply the number of financial loss that's come through the reports they've received. This does not capture the full picture of what's happening here in New Zealand. When you look at the banks and you talk to the banks, often they estimate the amount of financial loss is probably about 10 times more than what's actually being reported, which is a massive sum of money for New Zealand businesses to be losing. Financial loss is just one metric, though. While it is the most common metric that we can use to measure the amount of impact that cybersecurity incidents have to businesses here in NZ, it's not the only type of impact that's occurring. I want you to think about your organization. If you were to suffer an attack like a ransomware attack and your systems and operations went down, what would be the impact to your profit if your business can't operate during that time? Not just the financial loss to actually recovering from the incident and building the systems back up, but if your business can't operate during that time, what's the financial impact there? What if you have customer data that's compromised and then put out on the internet? How's that going to affect your reputation? What about the people within your organization that need to actually respond to that incident, likely outside of business hours? What's the mental and emotional impact on your people? These are all really important considerations for the impact that cybersecurity incidents can have on you, your business, and your people. And this is what we're trying to avoid. This is why it's so important to make sure that you've started your cybersecurity journey and that you're continuously trying to improve on your cybersecurity journey. The threat landscape has consistently evolved faster than defenders can keep pace, and rapid change brought about by digital transformation has increased the lag exponentially. Really great quote from Gartner here. Basically, what it's saying is that the threat landscape in cybersecurity is constantly evolving, rapidly changing. Attackers are using different methods, different tactics, different initial intrusion vectors, and it can be really hard as a defender to keep up. Not only is the threat landscape changing, so too is the digital landscape changing. We've got new technology, new tools, new solutions constantly coming out, and that can make it really confusing for defenders as well, trying to stay up to date with the latest attack methods and the latest technology and keep our organization safe can be really challenging. So my hope here today is that by coming along and engaging with this webinar, we'll be able to give you some information, some resources, some tools to go away and make sure that your organization is at least on its cybersecurity journey or will continually improve its cybersecurity throughout that journey. Hopefully we can help answer some really difficult questions for you too. Some of the questions that you might be facing when you're looking at your cybersecurity journey in your organization, and this is especially for those smaller and medium-sized businesses that have less people, have less resourcing, have less money and funds to be putting into their cybersecurity, how do you know where to start? There's a lot of information out there, and it can be really difficult to figure out exactly where the best starting point for your organization. But what about the resources that you should use on your journey? There's such a big number of frameworks out there these days. It can be hard to narrow down which one's going to be the best book. Yet, when you have done all that, how do you decide what's actually needed to focus on in terms of improving? There's so many different ways that we can improve our cybersecurity. How do you decide what is the most important priority and what you should improve first? And then how do you actually go about implementing these changes, making those improvements? It can be really difficult to take the information from the information stage and actually put it into implementation stage. NIST is a really good place to start. You've probably heard of NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. You've probably heard of their cybersecurity framework. It's a really robust, comprehensive framework, and it's often looked at by a lot of global organizations as the framework that they want to adhere to for its comprehensiveness. Now, the NIST cybersecurity framework can be broken down into about 23 categories of controls, which break down into a further 108 subcategories of controls. So if we're looking at over 100 different categories of cybersecurity controls, that could be very overwhelming for someone who's just starting their business's cybersecurity journey. Which controls do you look at first? How do you feasibly go about implementing all of these things at the same time? It can be incredibly overwhelming and confusing. Not only that, but actually getting an examination or a certification against a NIST framework can be a very time-consuming process, a very costly process. And that may not be realistic for organizations who might be a bit smaller, a bit less funded, or a bit less resourced. So we can look at other types of frameworks that are out there. ISO 27001 is a really common certification that organizations look for. And again, this is a really robust framework with about 114 controls in it. So we're still looking at frameworks that have these greater number of controls, which could be a bit more arduous to follow and adhere for our organization. SOC 2 Type 2 is another one. That one usually has about 60 to 80 controls. That's usually looked for by organizations who do a lot of operating in cloud. And then we've got the Center for Internet Security. They have a list of 18 controls. That's broken down into different safeguards, and each control has about 5 to 6 safeguards. So still, we're looking at a really high number of controls. Again, confusing, time-consuming, hard to implement, hard to follow, especially for a smaller, medium-sized business who's just starting out on their journey. So if we look a little bit closer to home, we met with the Australian Centre for Cybersecurity's Essential 8 and the New Zealand Computer Emergency Response Team's Critical Controls. There are 10 critical controls. And these two frameworks are what we've based our essential cybersecurity maturity and posture assessment on. The reason being is that certain New Zealand's critical controls, and to an extent, the ACSC's Essential 8, are more relevant for New Zealand businesses. CERT's controls are based on the incidents that they see reported through to them. These are the critical controls that would prevent the vast majorities of those incidents from occurring. Now, CERT New Zealand's critical controls have been developed specifically to be a lot more accessible, a lot more entry level, and targeting those smaller to medium businesses who may very likely be starting out on their cybersecurity journeys. So this is a list of controls that are designed to be achievable, designed so that you can go out and implement at least one of them today to improve your cybersecurity. And we're going to go through these really quickly just to talk about why they're so important. But we're not going to go into too much detail. I do really encourage you to check out CERT's website, cert.govt.nz, to look at the controls a little bit further. The first on the list is application controls, into implementing application controls. This is just ensuring that only authorized software can actually run on your environment. Only allowed applications can run on your environment, preventing malware, malicious software, and applications from running in your environment. Batching operating systems and applications is really, really important as well. We know that attackers commonly use vulnerability exploitation as a way to initially get in, and patching our systems is the way that we can prevent that vulnerability exploitation. So making sure our operating systems and applications are up to date as quickly as possible, automatically, wherever that's plausible, is really, really powerful. Restricting administrative privileges, implementing the principle of least control. This is just assuring that people within your organization only have access to the things they need in order to do their job. And this is about minimizing what can happen in the event of a user being compromised. An attacker gets into a user's account, but they only have limited access to what they need, and the impact of that compromise is going to be a lot less than if that user had full access to everything. Improving password policies is still important. There's a lot of chatter at the moment going on about whether or not we're moving towards a passwordless future. But at the moment, we're still in a reality where passwords are the cornerstone of security. And so it's important to make sure that we've got really good passwords. either having a password policy in place within our organization to ensure our employees know how to make a really good password, or using something like a password manager and allowing our employees to use a password manager to generate their long, strong, and unique passwords that way. Multi-factor authentication, additional layer of security on top of things like your password and username combination. And this is, again, a really, really powerful security control. Making sure that that's across any really important business critical systems is the key here. It gives us that second layer of protection. Even if our password's compromised, attackers may not be able to get in because we've got that multi-factor authentication in place. Asset lifecycle management, making sure you know what part of the lifecycle your assets are in at each phase, especially with those legacy or decommissioned systems, making sure that they're taken out of the environment so that they don't pose a risk. Backups are really important as well. I actually worked at Cert New Zealand for a little while there, and what I found is that when working with organizations, the organizations that had really strong, robust backup practices in place, they were the ones that would recover from incidents the quickest, the easiest, with the least amount of stress. Backups are really important, but it's important to make sure that they're stored securely, that they're tested regularly, but they are really critical to cybersecurity, especially recovery. Security awareness training, we know that people are often the target of attacks through social engineering or phishing campaigns. So bringing everyone in our organization along in our cybersecurity journey is really important too, just to make sure they're aware of the threats and risks they're likely to face. Network segmentation, just about breaking your network down into as many small parts as possible. What that means is that if an attacker does get into our system, they only have access to that small segment of the network rather than the entire network. This is going to minimize the impact and the harm that they can cause. And then, of course, alerting and logging. So it's important to make sure that we've got alerts set up for any really critical events. That might be someone logging in or accessing your really critical business systems. And then, of course, keeping a log of the events that have occurred. So if something does go wrong, we've got logs that we can look back at to understand what happened, what went wrong, and how we can improve it. These are Cert New Zealand's 10 critical controls. And again, these are designed for New Zealand businesses to be able to easily access and implement in order to prevent the vast majority of incidents that Cert New Zealand see reported to them from actually happening. Now, you might see a little bit less noise from Cert New Zealand in the near future. They have recently integrated with NCSC, and I believe a lot of the content that's coming out of them will be coming out under the umbrella of NCSC. So just something to look out for. All right, so as I discussed a little bit earlier, we've recently developed an essential cybersecurity maturity and posture assessment based on Cert New Zealand's critical controls, with a couple little additions that we thought were really important as well. The reason that we've chosen Cert New Zealand's 10 critical controls to align with is so that we can make sure we're focusing on what matters most, especially for those smaller and medium businesses who have less resources and funding. It's important that we're looking at the most highest priority controls that can be implemented for the greatest impact. And that's the key there, prioritization to get the maximum impact for your effort. We know that cybersecurity can be costly. It can be expensive to implement changes. It can be expensive to build long-term cybersecurity into your business. And so it's important that we prioritize things based on not only the risk that not addressing those controls poses to your organization, but also the impact putting it in place is going to have to your organization, balanced out with the cost. We want to make sure you're getting the most impact for your effort and for your money as possible. The other approach that your organization can take is by starting small and scaling up. So maybe you're beginning your cybersecurity journey and you're trying to cut through all the noise and understand where you can actually make a start. The Cert New Zealand critical controls are a really great place to make that start. Once you've begun that process, started on that journey, and you've started to move through it, you feel like you've got the critical controls in place. From there, you may want to look at something like a more robust framework, something like the NIST, CSF, ISO 27001, or any of the other ones that we've discussed. But starting somewhere accessible and achievable is a really key piece to the puzzle. The other approach, the other aspect that we really want to deliver with this assessment is helping you to build a long-term cybersecurity roadmap. So the first step of this is understanding where you currently are. From there, we help you to understand, we assess your current state and help you understand what controls can be implemented for the greatest amount of improvement. The assessment comes along with an uplift catalog of recommendations, which can be used in terms of a long-term roadmap for cybersecurity upload. This gives you actionable things that you can go away and implement to improve your cybersecurity. So it's not just about giving you a snapshot of where you currently are. It's about laying the way for you so that you can improve, that there are tangible things that you can implement in your organization to improve your cybersecurity. And that's our assessment methodology. We start by discovery. We start by understanding where you currently are, understanding the 12 controls that we're assessing here. What's the current implementation of those controls? From there, we look to put that out into a report back to you so that you can understand where you currently are and also highlight any gaps that might exist in your current posture. The next step here is recommendations. So making sure that you've got a very clear list of recommendations that are prioritized based on the amount of impact they're going to have, prioritized based on cost versus the impact, and prioritized based on your unique position. Organizations are different. Their size, the sector that they work in, and this changes their cybersecurity posture, some of the things that are going to be most important to them. And that's another key that we try to get across with these recommendations, making sure that not only are they going to give you the greatest bang for your buck, but also making sure that they're tailored, they're specific to your organization, your size, your sector. And then the last one is, of course, remediation. So making sure that we've provided the recommendations to you in a way that you can then go away and action. You've got very clear guidance on what needs to be put in place. You can then start remediating those gaps, putting those controls in place, and improving your organization's cybersecurity. Another great quote here. Investing in cybersecurity is akin to putting brakes in a car. It doesn't stop you moving forward. It gives you the confidence to go faster. And that's the idea with this essential cybersecurity posture and maturity assessment. We're not trying to put blocks in the way. We're actually trying to make sure that you've got everything you need to go faster. We want to help you on your cybersecurity journey. We want to make sure that organizations out there have the information they need to understand where to make a start. What resources do they need to use? Where should they focus their effort and investment? And how can they actually go about implementing these changes? You can approach the Instillery through our website, theinstillery.com, where you can always approach any of the Instillery's employees. If you're wanting some assistance with your cybersecurity, if you want some help to understand and assess your current posture, approach us. We can help you out with this. We can deliver our cybersecurity assessment and help you develop a long-term cybersecurity roadmap for your constant improvement. Thanks very much for joining me today. It's been my pleasure to talk you through this. Hopefully you've learned something. Hopefully there's something that you can take away to implement in your own organization or improve your cybersecurity, continuously move along that cybersecurity journey. Thanks very much.